Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That is 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'm Sandra Flack. Thank you for joining us today for episode 228 of the Orphans No More podcast. We're here to inspire and encourage you to stand firm and give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. This week's guest is going to share about her biracial family's experience with racism and how they handle being white parents to Black children, especially within the current climate in our country. But first, last week, I took to Facebook Live again to give away 5 copies of Jason Weber's book, Until There's More Than Enough, Working Together to Transform Foster Care Where You Live. Our 5 lucky winners are Sherry Wickstrom of Orange County, New York, Marianne Bauman of Rexford, New York, Pastor Mary Beth Engelhart of Abounding Christian Love Fellowship in Ravenna, Janice Weishaus of St. Louis, Missouri, and Dina Zoller of Schenectady, New York. Congratulations, ladies. If you haven't heard my conversation with Jason Weber yet, please check out episode 227 of this podcast. If you have a heart for children in foster care, you won't want to miss that episode. Now, all but one of our winners have been previous guests on this podcast. One of those ladies is actually returning to the show today. Please welcome foster and adoptive mom, Dina Zoller.
Hi, Sandra.
Thank you so much for being on the show and congratulations on winning the book. I'm thrilled that you were able to win one of Jason Weber's books that we gave away last week.
I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
It was so fun. We're having a great time giving away books to our podcast listeners. And you've been on this show before. Several years back, I'm not exactly sure when we were still on the radio, you shared your family's foster care journey. I don't even think you guys had adopted the boys yet, but since then you have adopted, you're still fostering. So tell us about your kiddos, names where you can and ages.
So presently we have 3 adopted sons, ages 12, 11, and 5. And we have 3 foster children and their ages are 8, 6, and 3. However, we've had up to 10 kids at a time at the in the home, in our home.
Wow. So you're having a break right now with just 6. I love that. And before we jump into our main topic, because we really do want to get to the topic at hand around racism, but there's another national crisis going on that's affecting the country and all of our kids, especially children with trauma histories, kids who have been in foster care or been adopted. How has the COVID-19 shutdown and the social distancing and school closures and all of that impacted your family? Have you seen it affect your kids? If so, what have you seen?
Oh, absolutely. Our 2 oldest sons are homeschooled. So for them, even though they have been home from the start, the motivation for school absolutely went in a downward spiral. It was an attitude of, well, everybody's home and the sky is beautiful and it's a clear day. Why do we have to do school? Everybody's home. So they had the mentality of each school day was like the end of the day when everybody got home from the bus because everybody was home all at once. And for our foster kiddos, they were not used to doing school online and then being put in front of the computer. There was very little motivation and it was very, very tough to try and motivate them. And finally, in speaking to their play therapist, it was very consoling because she said to me, Dina, you would not believe 99% of my cases have reverted to their old behaviors before they started therapy. She said, it's like they've never even had a single session of therapy in the past.
Wow. And I believe that because I know with my kids, you know, and I've talked to several foster and adoptive moms, and it just sort of triggered those old traumas, and they lost a lot of ground. And, you know, my youngest, you know, has FAS and he was in school. We had homeschooled for many years, like you're homeschooling. But after 16 years of homeschooling, we put our youngest two in school because they just, with special needs that they had, they just needed super structure and guided social interactions. And then now we were home, I think the last 14 weeks of the school year, and you know, they didn't gain any ground academically. Maybe they didn't lose a whole lot of ground academically, but they lost a ton of ground socially and emotionally. And it's just been so hard on our kids. So thank you for sharing that, you know, and I want parents, you know, to know that if our listeners, if your kids are struggling, if you're struggling, if you're having a hard time, you know, reach out to us. Let me know. We want to hear from you. We want to pray for you and support you. And so please feel free to email me at sandrafleckjfo@gmail.com because we really want to be a support for one another and encourage one another. So, okay, Dina, to the other crisis. The racial tensions across our nation. As a biracial family, your white parents of black children, has your family experienced racism? And if so, what has that experience been like?
So during foster care, if you had asked me, I would have told you that I didn't even believe that racism still existed. Now, unfortunately, I've learned better. And I specifically say learned because I can honestly say through experience that I have learned that racism still exists. And there are also, if we look at it from the Lord's side, there can be beautiful lights at the end of the tunnel. So unfortunately, we as a family have dealt with racism both directly and indirectly. You know, the reality as parents of what we call in our family, dark chocolate, we've learned that you are under the radar.
Mm. Dina, I know in your family, you have some fun nicknames for each other. Can you share those with us?
Oh, sure. When our youngest adopted son came, I have always loved his skin, the color, the texture, everything about it. And I used to love to give him what we call in our family smoochies all the time. So I started calling him the dark chocolate of the family because, well, I love dark chocolate and his skin tone is African-American or black. So one day my older son overheard this and he said, well, mom, if he's the dark chocolate, then I'm going to be the caramel. And my other son said, well, then I'm going to be the coffee ice cream of the family. As a family, we're all together at the moment. And my husband said, I get it. And mom and I will be the white chocolate of the family. And it was a small moment in time, but it really showed me how important it is to notice, to celebrate our differences, to see them as how they are, their God-given characteristics. And if we're not celebrating them, what respect are we really showing to the Lord who created them? I believe that instead of dividing our differences, we need to be instead uniting his beauty, his workmanship. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship. We are his masterpiece. So why not be celebrating that every day, even if it means with special family nicknames?
Yeah, I love that. And that actually is a perfect segue into my next question, which is really the topic that we wanted to talk about today, because as a biracial family, white chocolate of dark chocolate, right? White parents of black children. Has your family experienced racism? And if so, what has that experience been like for you?
Oh my goodness. You know, doing foster care, if I had been asked, I would have told you that I didn't believe that racism still existed. Now, unfortunately, I've learned better. And I specifically say learned because I can honestly say that now, through experience, I have learned that racism still exists. And there are also beautiful lights, though, at the end of the tunnel that God can still use. So unfortunately, as a family, we've dealt with racism both directly and indirectly. The reality is, as parents of dark chocolate, as you heard, caramel and coffee ice cream children, we've learned that that makes you under the radar. You're noticed just about everywhere you go. And that's a fact. As a family, as a biracial family, we stick out. were monitored and watched because of those differences. I'll never forget when one of our sons, Nathaniel, our youngest, first came to us, the staring, the question in public, it was surreal and unexpected. I didn't know at first how to deal with it. So I started until I became comfortable doing things like shopping at the same supermarket, putting my son in the cart and kissing him all over when I entered, telling him out loud how much I loved him and repeating the words as loud as I could, my son, oh, sweetheart, what would you like? Hopefully to stop the staring and the gossip that surrounded me. And those were little things at first, but the things that really were what I call the direct racism was when you got to the line and people would start asking questions. Is that your son? Oh, I bet his parents XYZ. Oh, they belong where they are. Oh, did you know that they did? And I couldn't believe what people were saying. And it was nothing but racism and based on assumption. They don't know any of our son's history. They don't know anything about our present situation. So how could you deem and assume things just by the color of his skin? And I say the second is indirect racism. I call it the which one of these looks not like the other scenario. So Sandra, if I gave you a piece of graph paper and I designed it like an enormous game of tic-tac-toe with tons of horizontal and vertical lines, and I gave you two markers, they could be any color. And I said, Sandra, take the first color marker, give me any color if you wouldn't mind.
Blue.
And write as many letters, any letters randomly that you want in the color blue. But I stopped you. And I said, Sandra, here's another color. And what color would that be for you, Sandra?
Pink.
And I said, pick any three boxes whatsoever and write any letters randomly in pink. And you filled in all the boxes, most of them in blue and only a few in pink. And I turned the paper over and I took it and I said, here's a blank piece of paper with the grid, but empty. And I say, write for me as many of those letters in the colors you can remember. I promise you, because they stood out and didn't look like the others, and there were a few of them, you would remember all the pink and where they were, but the blue would be questionable in your short-term memory. And that's just how we're designed. And that's just how it works. And that's what I call which one of these looks not like the other, because as humanity, innocently and indirectly, that's what happens. When there is something different or something unusual than what's around it, it sticks out. It's special, but it goes noticed because it's memorable. And I've told our kids, you will stick out. You will be under the radar wherever you go. And so I say to them, because of that, I'm expecting more of you and better from you, especially because you're a child of God. So any day of the week, I'll say to my sons, when you're in the cafeteria, when you're in the playground, and there are, say, six kids doing what they know is wrong, because you stick out, you need to be the one who helps others to see the example of how to be Christ-like in that moment. You are called to be his hands and feet, and you should be showing others things like how to step away from the incident at school, how to show kindness and never react with the wrong words. Because not only are you the child of God in the room, chosen and adopted, you are the one who will be noticed. You are the one who stands out in a crowd and will be spotlighted. Anywhere you see that something is ungodly, especially in a public or school setting, you are under the radar. Which one of these, I call it, looks not like the other? It's noticeable. Now, with that reality said, I also teach our sons Romans 8:28, that God will work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I've also told our sons, with your differences, guess what? You have a God-given ability to be a leader. Yes, you stand out. Yes, you're noticeable. And what better way to show others Christ? What if one kid walks away before the fight breaks out? What if just one kid in the group says, you may be trying that, you may be stealing that, you may be touching that, but I ain't gonna. What if one kid, the leader, the dark chocolate that everyone notices, says, no, I refuse. I won't do that. My Heavenly Father did not create me for that. And I tell you, I've told my son, you can change the world.
Have your boys encountered racism at school or in the community?
Absolutely. They absolutely have. And, you know, it's a teachable moment. I try and work things out and discuss and help. But because of that, this, which one of these looks not like the other scenario, especially when there's groups, it's a normal part of the flesh. They are noticeable. They stick out. So when 6 kids are involved in something, when 12 kids are involved in something in a group setting, especially in things like school, they are the memorable ones. They are the ones that teachers, because of the way God designed our short-term memory, they are the memorable ones.
So just because they were there, it must have been them that started the trouble.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So definitely teachable moments. And I know you shared with me that you have a mentor, an older woman who had adopted biracially years ago, and she's given you some advice. Can you share that with us?
Oh my goodness, yes. The Lord gave me someone even when I wasn't asking for her. And having a mentor, someone with experience, oh my goodness, that can shine light on things for us, it's just, to me, has been one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given me. She is the adoptive mom of a biracial family. Her children are much, much older. And one of her sons is dark chocolate. And I will tell you the truth. When she first told me some of her examples, I didn't listen. Well, because I was thinking that'll never happen. But now I'm learning. I'm learning from what she said, especially that sadly, yes, racism still exists in our culture. She had told me once about how she teaches her children and briefs them on how to handle an everyday situation in cultures. One of them was driving a car. She has told them before, so she shared with me, this is what I tell my son. You're a target. You will get pulled over. And when you do, you put your hands on the wheel and you wait. You do not touch anything before that officer approaches. You sit still with your hands on the wheel. When he comes or she comes, you make eye contact. You say sir or ma'am at all times. You do not reach for your glove compartment to even get your insurance ready. You wait for them to ask. And when they ask, you say, yes, sir, I'm opening the glove compartment. Yes, sir, there's nothing else in this glove compartment. Yes, sir, I'm just reaching for my insurance. Take it in a step by step. She has told them if they say get out of the car, it doesn't matter why, you just do it. And she's also told me, she's also told them, and by the way, be expected to be followed, to be monitored at any given time in department stores. They will just keep watch on you. And her children have experienced it.
Yeah. Such sobering realities, you know, like I think, you know, I'm a parent of all white children. We've adopted from Ukraine, you know, so I've got a lot of blonde hair and redheaded kids and pale flesh, a lot of white chocolate at my house. But, you know, because I don't see it, I didn't think it really, you know, does that really happen? But talking with so many foster and adoptive moms, especially with everything that's going on in our country right now, it's like, yes, this still happens. And it's just eye-opening, and it shouldn't be shocking. I talked to another mom and she said, it shouldn't shock us.
Yeah.
We need to be part of the solution and it shouldn't shock us. So, you know, I'm just so sorry that your kids are dealing with that. And how do your kids process being part of a biracial family?
They stand out. We get attention everywhere we go. So they learn that it's really a chance to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Wow. I know, Dina, you shared a story with me about one of your kids, and they kind of had this revelation from the book of Genesis, actually. See what I did there? And but you got to tell that story to our listeners, because I loved it.
Actually, to me in the beginning, it was one of the most simplistic, but at the same time, beautiful analogies that he related to the Bible one evening. And it was something that just stood with me that I never forgot. His childlike analogy in a biblical context, it really put it all into perspective for me. I don't know if anybody has had a moment with their child where they're half listening. And my son is a talker. When he is overtired, his mouth just never stops. And he was talking late, and I was half listening. Until one moment he said, it was like he got the light bulb. He got the revelation. He had to share. He said, Mom, I figured it out. I know why God made Nathaniel, black. He says, well, in the book of Genesis, you know how it says that God made man out of dirt? And I had no idea where he was going with this. So I gave him the, mom kind of answer. And so he energetically continued and said, I think I figured it out. On that day, there must have just been some lighter dirt and some darker dirt in the Garden of Eden. And that's how God made Nathaniel. He just used some of the darker dirt that day. And out of the mouths of babes, I just loved that. It was so wonderful how he brought it back to the Word of God, but at the same time, he reminded me, God's creation is both beautiful and it was planned. It's all made by him, every shape, color, size, and all of it is his expression, his work. It was even made back in the Garden of Eden with, as my son said, some darker dirt that day.
I just love how he came to that, you know, that that conclusion, light dirt, dark dirt. Now, one of your sons, and you shared this story with me previously, at school, another student said to him, you're not special, you're just adopted. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we had one circumstance with a young man who was dark chocolate at the school. And you know how they say sometimes kids can take, well, a cheap shot or a low blow. And he and my son had words. And he was looking for just anything that would hurt my son's feelings. And so to end this discussion, we'll call it, the young man said to our caramel son, well, you're not special anyway. You were just adopted. So my son went into an emotional meltdown and I got a call from the school. So this became a beautiful opportunity to let his individuality, his differences, and his beautiful caramel colored skin take the spotlight for a discussion. I gave him lots of physical affection from the minute he got off the bus because, well, it's just his love language. And one of the first things I said to him was, look at me, look at us. And I put my white chocolate arm up against his caramel skin. And I said, listen, honey, it is no secret. You're not gonna hide it because people can see that you are adopted. But here's the key. When people are married and they get to make a baby and God gives them a child, they get what they get, the gift of life they're given, and it's beautiful, it's great. I said, but with you, here's how you know how special you really are to us. I wasn't just given you. I got to choose you. You were chosen. And that's how special you really are because I never let you go. Some families, adoptive families, I would tell him, they say no thanks, but there was no way I was letting you go. And so we had a moment with the rest of the evening. That night, there was nothing that ice cream couldn't solve. But for that moment and those words, he has actually never forgotten that. And one of the most beautiful things was for that Mother's Day, he loves to draw. That's his way of self-expression. And he made pictures for a Mother's Day parade. And that's when it meant the most of me, most to me, because it means he remembered it. On that Mother's Day parade, one of the drawings actually said in his handwriting, I didn't choose you, Mom, you chose me.
I love that. A few years ago, I interviewed a local Catholic priest who'd been adopted at birth, and he shared his adoption story. And when I asked him, like, you know, the question, something along the lines of how did you feel growing up adopted? Because he knew, you know, his mom made sure he always knew he was adopted. And he said, well, I just kind of felt sorry for all the other kids because Jesus and me were both adopted and we had that in common and they didn't, you know.
Beautiful.
So I just, that story has always stuck with me because I'm like, yeah. So, but seriously, Dina, what advice would you give to parents, especially white parents who, you know, maybe they're planning on becoming foster parents or they're planning on adopting and they may become a biracial family? What would you say to them? Give us some advice.
Absolutely. The biggest pieces of advice I could say is it all comes back to the Word of God. First of all, God has a plan. And second, our differences will provide opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So first of all, like I said, God has a plan. Psalm 139 says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Before he knitted us in our mother's womb, he knew us, he made us, he created us. Each day, and I love that, not some days, not once in a while, the word says that each day was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before even one came to pass. So what does that mean to me? God has a plan. He knows the beginning, he knows the end of the story that he has designed for us before it even comes about. Before it even happens, he knows what's coming. He knew our sons, Jaden, Jadeel, and Nathaniel, would be our sons. Our father knew that their mothers would have struggles and would eventually release these children and ordain them to be our family. And that he would even call our family to pray for their mothers constantly. So I would tell foster and adopted parents to keep in mind that God has a plan. Second, our preferences provide opportunities to share the gospel. Excuse me, I meant our differences. Our differences provide opportunities to share the gospel. So when adopting children of different races and different colors, you should expect to be, the truth is, the center of attention, because your multicolored family will stand out wherever you go. But honestly, I feel like if we allow it, you become the conversation piece for God's glory. To talk to someone on the line at a grocery store who's trying to show you that they're really not staring, or to another parent on the soccer field who sees that the kid you're cheering on looks nothing like you, is an amazing opportunity to explain what God has done in your life, how great he is, and that this creation, people, places, times, were all designed by him. And when you can finish saying, you know, there's also this interesting book that you can read all about it. It's called the Bible. Do you need me to pick one up for you? There's even one at the dollar stores these days. And one thing that I would mention as well to adopted families that I feel is really too important to remember is one of our favorite life verses as a family. It's Galatians 5:13, and it says, "Dear friends, you were chosen to be free. So do not use that freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve one another in love." And as Americans, I feel like sometimes we forget, but we really are entitled. And yes, all lives matter. All shades of God's creation matter. And we live in a nation that has freedom, freedom to express love, to express discontent, freedom to picket our opinions, even to express force, as we've seen in the media lately about how we feel. But with all of that said, as the word of God says in Galatians 5:13, we're also free. So I would stress to any parent that's considering adoption, don't limit yourself. Don't put God in a box. Say yes, but don't limit it to children based on color, on age, on gender. We're free. And again, we're called to serve one another in love. God has placed you in a nation that enables us to have the resources that we need to do what he is calling us as a body of Christ to do. He's given us things like the healthcare benefits, the therapists, the caseworkers, the food, the shelter, and sometimes we forget, but even the transportation to get to where we need to go. And we may think that as individuals, well, we could be better off and we should be better off to serve a child, an orphan, a foster kid. But we really are more entitled than we ever daily realize we are. So to foster, to adopt, or I can go there to even assist a family that has already said yes, is nothing more than being obedient and to answer the call in James 1:27.
Love that. Love that. Now, I know you're quoting a lot of scriptures and I love that. And I know I opened the show with 1 Corinthians 15:58. And I can remind our listeners, let me read that again. Because I want to ask you about that. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And you gave me that verse. So what does that verse mean to you, Dina?
Oh my goodness. that verse, it speaks to me, saying the truth is, yes, all lives matter, but racism still exists. And we pray that that changes in our lifetime. But whether we see the fruits of our labor, whether we see the end of this battle, it's not in vain, and God is fully pleased. You know, we're called as adopted parents of all races and genders, not to allow it to discourage us, but instead for the struggles to empower us and to show love to all of God's children. There may be comments. We may feel like we're under the microscope because of our multicolor family and how we stand out in social settings. You may possibly have challenges with the school because your child was the only dark chocolate in the group of kids at school where something happened. And so it will happen. They get blamed. But I believe that verse is telling us we are still called to persevere. We're called to love and to know that God is still on the throne. He has a plan. He loves all of his children. And I believe that he loves the fact that honestly, as adoptive parents, we didn't just take the easy road of, well, that baby's Caucasian, I'll take that one. That baby looks like my hair color and my eyes, we'll choose that child. No. Instead, I think God is more well pleased with, I will accept and receive the plans that you have for me, Lord, giving me this work with my whole self. And whether I see the changes in this lifetime or not, I will finish the race that you have called me to run with love and with joy and with perseverance for all of his workmanship. Again, Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship.
I love that. Thank you so much, Dina, for having this conversation with us today. I feel like it's just so important to have these conversations, and thank you for educating us and for candidly sharing your story. I just love your heart.
Thank you so much for having me. And I know you will never hear the words dark chocolate, caramel, or coffee ice cream the same ever again.
Ever again. And those are some of my favorite things. Aww. So thank you so much. And thank you, our listeners, for tuning in to this episode 228 of Orphans No More. If you were inspired by today's show, please subscribe and leave a review, and please share it with your friends and on your social media. We really appreciate that. And of course, let us know. We love hearing from our listeners. You can contact us at justicefororphansny.org. You can email me, Sandra Flack, at sandraflackjfo@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. And stay tuned to this podcast and our social media for news about the release of my book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. It's coming soon, I promise. So stay tuned. Say a prayer. I could use lots of prayer over that, and be on the lookout for that. So thank you so much again for listening, and I look forward to being with you next time on Orphans No More.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.